I'm Natalie Morales of 48 Hours. So much of our reporting focuses on the stories of victims who didn't survive. But what about those who lived to tell?
I survived a violent home invasion. There's no earthly reason why I'm alive.
From 48 Hours, this is It Could Have Been Me.
It makes you grateful for everything you have, you know.
You can follow and listen to It Could Have Been Me on Tuesdays in the 48 Hours podcast feed on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome on in to our Wednesday, July 2nd edition of Sports Talk, the second half. Me and Charlie Long bringing until 8 p.m. this evening. 6:30, we'll be welcoming Odyssey NBA insider Nick Friedell, talking about all the moves that have been going on in free agency and a little bit about the rumors swirling around the Pelicans. 7 o'clock hour, we'll talk to Zach Nagy, publisher of LSU Tigers on Sports Illustrated, for the latest and greatest on LSU football and baseball. And right now, man, I'm just refreshing social media, trying to find out the latest about some commitments ready to announce their decisions. Edge Trenton Henderson, along with a linebacker J.J. Bush, to see if the Tigers are adding some more players to that roster.
Well, we got news on one of those, too.
Oh, hit me, Charlie.
J.J. Bush has committed to Arkansas.
Boo.
Via Hayes Fawcett, national recruiting reporter for Rivals and On3 Sports. 6'3", 217 pounds from Alabama towards the Razorbacks over LSU and Missouri. So, you know, it's kind of interesting. I was reading Zach Nagy's report earlier on the day talking about, you know, both Bush and obviously Henderson. And he had mentioned with Bush that it was down to LSU and Miami and all these scholarship offers from Ole Miss, Tulane, Cincinnati. And then he had kind of mentioned in there as well that Arkansas was one of the schools that he had visited, as well as Missouri. And it came down to those three, apparently, Arkansas, Mizzou, and LSU, with J.J. Bush, once again, the four-star linebacker from Theodore in Alabama, has officially committed to Arkansas.
Yeah, looking here, the number 16 linebacker in America now heading to Arkansas. Two-way player, he recorded 69 tackles, 6 sacks, and picked off a pass, adding 344 yards and 6 touchdowns rushing in high school. Blake Baker identified him early on as one of the top linebacker targets and was doing what they could to lure him to BR, but in the end does not happen. So now our attention focuses onto the guy that is still available, and that's a five-star edge in Trent Henderson, who is, the decision is reportedly down to LSU, Florida, or Texas, Charlie. So curious to find out how this one shakes out, the number 4 edge in the nation and 28 overall prospect.
Yeah, LSU's offered him. Michigan, Florida, Auburn, all these different major programs have thrown it at him. From Pensacola Catholic in Florida, so Trenton Henderson is the one that we'll be keeping an eye on next. But once again, J.J. Bush, the other linebacker target for LSU, has officially committed to Arkansas. And we'll keep everybody updated with what happens with Henderson. These high school recruiting things, you know, Mike always says that it's not worth anything until the paper that it's signed on and everything like that.
Oh, I totally agree with him, right?
But, yeah, we'll still keep an eye on it, obviously.
So, yeah, waiting to see what happens with Trenton Henderson, a guy that racked up 50 tackles, 10 sacks, and broke up 6 passes as a junior, forced a fumble, and recorded 1 in 10 games. That was one of the top of 39 stops, 4 sacks, and a pair of forced fumbles during his sophomore season. Would be a nice addition to the Hall for the Bayou Bengals. We'll keep you posted there. Looking around what's been going around in news around the NBA today, we're going to be talking to Nick Friedell at 6:30, like I mentioned, Odyssey NBA insider. The Lakers, Charlie, end up getting their center. They were reportedly, you know, some making phone calls to the Pelicans interested in Yves Missi, but I'm guessing that Joe Dumars must have heard you and just hung up the phone when they called.
That was my instant reaction last night. Apparently, they were also interested in Nick Richards. They just desperately needed a center because Jackson Hayes was a disaster. We talked about that last night, Steve. And the fact that they called about Missi, once again, what real assets did the Lakers have?
But it doesn't hurt to try, I guess.
I guess, but it's so funny seeing Laker fans on Twitter. Like, I know I sent you a couple of trade ideas from these brilliant geniuses on Twitter, where they just give garbage assets and players that nobody wants, and you give us your best assets. You give us Emisi, you give us Herb Jones.
We're not the Dallas Mavericks here,
like
Lakers. Come on.
Jared Vanderbilt in a second round pick. I'm like, what are we doing here? No, it's ridiculous. So the Lakers, because they've basically blown away so many assets in recent years to build the roster that they currently have, they didn't really have much to trade for the Pelicans and Yves Mesi. And Yves Mesi is a bright young center in the NBA. They hit on that pick at 21 overall. They hit it out of the park. And so if you're the Pelicans, why would you even give up on someone like that so early into his career when he showed the flashes in his rookie campaign? And yes, I know that he slowed down in the second half of the season, and that just tends to happen with rookies because this is the first time they're playing an 82-game season versus in college where it's like 35 games, right? It's a big adjustment, and especially you're hopping from city night to night with how the NBA schedule currently is. And so what you saw from Mesi was very, very promising in his rookie campaign. I think it would have been a poor move to move on from him, especially because now that you've added Kevon Looney to the mix, you kind of have that center rotation with Mesi and Looney. And then maybe even, once again, Derek Queen, the rookie, in some small ball rotations, he could play five, right? I think that Mesi, I've said it before, Steve, you said it before as well, core building piece of this roster moving forward. And to have sent them to the Lakers, I would not have been very happy. Granted, now they got DeAndre Ayton. They don't need to worry about that. It's going to be very, very funny watching Laker fans talk themselves into Ayton when he's been, you know, disappointing basically ever since the Phoenix Suns made that run to the NBA Finals.
Charlie, we didn't have to wait long for both commits to make their decision. Five-star edge Trenton Henderson, 6'4", 225 pounds, has committed to LSU. Hold that tiger.
Yeah, how about that? So you miss on one, but you get the other. And those were the two big ones. I can't wait to talk. We're going to be speaking with Zach Nagy at the 7 o'clock hour. Obviously, Henderson's going to be a big point of contention and kind of getting his thoughts on him because 4-star edge rusher, but still a top 5 edge rusher in the 2026 recruiting class. So choosing LSU over the likes of Michigan and Florida, Auburn, all these other schools that he went and visited in the offseason, it's definitely big news.
Yeah, and going back, swinging back to the NBA now, I was curious to see what the Lakers were going to end up doing because I didn't think there was any way in HE double hockey sticks that the fact that the Pelicans were going to part with Yves Mesi, because like you mentioned, there wasn't going to be that package there that they were going to be able to put together to land the young budding star. But we have seen other interesting rumors out there surrounding the Pelicans, maybe going after another Golden State Warrior for this squad. We're going to be the New Orleans Warriors soon.
Yeah, Mike called it Golden State South. And so we'll see what happens with Jonathan Kuminga, who's the player that you're referring to. 22 years old, has been in the NBA for 4 years, was the 7th overall pick back in 2021. Super athletic freak. And he's shown some development over the past couple of years. I know that he missed some time this past season with an injury that basically cost him about 30 games of an 82-game season. But the numbers were still solid when he played. So, very interesting piece. And if Dumars and Weaver have their eyes on him and they think that he could be, you know, a staple of the future for this Pelicans franchise, once again, he's only 22 years old. They might go out and get him. Now, the issue is he's due a contract. He's a restricted free agent.
That's
as well.
Where I was going to go, right.
So if you go out and get someone like Jonathan Kuminga, you're going to have to do it via sign and trade. And then you're going to have to sign him to whatever extension that he's looking for. That's the biggest question mark for me right now, is what kind of money is Jonathan Kuminga looking for? He's been in the NBA for 4 years. He's past couple years, he's been like a 15, 16 point per game scorer. He's a solid athlete, but, you know, what does he want, right, from his next deal? Is he looking for $20 million average annual value, or is he looking for more than that? Part of me thinks it might be somewhere around the Jabari Smith extension that he just got from the Houston Rockets, Steve, where it's about $25 million average annual value. Maybe the Pelicans are interested at that price at the same time with how their current salary cap is right now.
Yeah, after the Looney signing, it just seems really tough for me to make this work.
You're going to have to trade one of your pieces to get him, and that means Herb Jones or Trey Murphy, in all honesty. So if they're really, really interested and they want him badly, we'll see what happens and if they can make something work out. It's just really difficult, and I know Jake Madison had this on Twitter earlier as well. It's really hard to kind of envision them making this trade and bringing in Kuminga into the fold without giving up one of those two pieces. And I know that that's kind of a hard sell for a lot of Pelican fans.
Yeah, I've seen a little bit from swirling around the Twitter sphere about possibly Herb Jones and also Hawk, you know, sending Hawkins as well as part of the deal.
Yeah, Hawkins, and we've also mentioned this, Steve, that in the new backcourt that the Pelicans are building, where does Hawkins fit in? Where does Jose Alvarado fit in? You know, kind of what they want to do for building the future of this team. It's all going to be up to Joe Dumars and how he envisions, you know, the roster for 2025, 2026 and beyond. And if he wants Kuminga and he's really, really sold on what that kid could potentially be, he might take the swing. He's not afraid to do it. We've seen that already.
Got some folks lined up on our Oakland Heart Jewelers talking text line. You can as well, 504-260-1870. We'll dip into that when we get back from the break here on WWL.
I'm Natalie Morales of 48 Hours. So much of our reporting focuses on the stories of victims who didn't survive. But what about those who live to tell?
I survived a violent home invasion. There's no earthly reason why I'm alive.
From 48 Hours, this is It Could Have Been Me.
It makes you grateful for everything you have, you know.
You can follow and listen to It Could Have Been Me on Tuesdays in the 48 Hours podcast feed on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Back here on Sports Talk, big news for the Bayou Bengals. LSU football landing edge rusher Trenton Henderson, four-star recruit on the 24/7 Sports composite for the 2026 class. Seeing that he told CBS Sports why he decided to choose the Bayou Bengals, says everything added up and it checked every box. So an opportunity to, you know, fit in right away with this LSU squad, definitely interested in him.
Yeah, Blake Baker making some moves here, Steve. It's definitely exciting to hear.
Going to our Oakland Heart Jewelers talk in text line. Jimmy and Gretna is going to sound off about the Pelicans. How you doing? Staying cool on this hot day, Jimmy?
Hey, buddy. Yeah, look, we're about to get out the car, me and the kids. We're about to go buy some fireworks, man. I look, the best investment a father can make is in roadside fireworks. I've always believed that. And here we are. We're going to go spend hundreds of dollars on this stuff and just burn it all up, basically.
Right.
Oh, yeah, and one more thing. Look, hope you guys can come out to the Uncle Sam Jam tomorrow night. It's a free concert. Your buddy Scoot from WWL from the earlier show, I think he's going to be there. He's usually there every year. But look for me. I'm not sure what Pelicans jersey I'm going to wear. You guys help me out here. You know, I got my Carlo Mackovich jersey. If Misi gets traded, you got to bump him up. But then what? We just got the loony kid from Golden State. You could say what you want about Joe Dumars. You know, but he's making moves. Now the question is, all right, so we traded, and correct me if I'm wrong here, guys, we traded our first round pick for next year.
Correct.
For Dejounte Murray. And
no,
we
no,
just
Derek
traded.
Wayne.
Oh, okay. Wait, okay. But wait, didn't we lose a first round pick in the Murray trade?
Yeah. The Murray trade.
That'd be a first round.
Yeah. That was David Griffin. That wasn't Joe Dumars. That was a whole different trade package.
I understand, but the Pelicans franchise is on the hook for the Murray traded first rounder, and that's in 2026, correct? In 2027 is the
it's
Derek
like the
Queen trade.
Lakers pick, I think, it was part of that pick that was sent out to Atlanta back in the DeJounte Murray trade. That was last offseason. As far as the Pelicans'
okay.
own pick, which was the pick swap with Milwaukee, that was what was sent to Atlanta as part of the Derek Queen trade moving up from pick 23. Yeah, unprotected to move up from 23.
Unprotected, right, Charlie? So essentially either this Derek Queen kid works out tremendously or we are in the lotto again and we don't have that pick. So I think a lot of the guys we have now, it's a young roster. I think they're really invested in the front court. Look, Charlie, you and me, we have our different opinion on Zion. I just don't think, like you guys say, people talk about trade Misi. You're not going to get it. Everybody lowballs you. You're not going to get anything. I hope Dumars and Zion can make this work because without Zion, it's a long, long road. And I know he hasn't been available, but look, I hope Murray can come back. And again, everyone who's a Pelicans fan listening to this, I know we're a long way away from the NBA. Go listen to what Dejounte Murray said about the Pelicans organization. Now, he said some things that some fans, and I'm sure Gail Benson and them, didn't like.
Oh, yeah, Joe Dumars addressed that for sure.
Yeah, and I'm glad he said it. It got Joe Dumars' attention. It got Gail Benson's attention that as a player, the organization isn't doing everything that's needed for the players that are coming in, that are here, and keeping them happy and ready to play. You know, look at all the injuries we had, guys, Steve and Charlie. It's just, I mean, the Saints deal with it too, the medical staff, this and that. But, man, at the end of this year, it seemed like we had five or six guys off the streets who are playing a lot of minutes. And I think it just goes to show you that, you know, either there's a culture issue or a medical staff issue. And again, I double down on this. I think what Murray said is great. It's going to force some, you know, retribution on some level within the front office and get things straight. So I want to get your take on that.
Yeah, to me, you know, we heard Joe Dumars address that, I think it was before draft night, Charlie, that he mentioned the fact that speaking, or was it draft night, that he spoke with DeJounte Murray.
It was night one of the draft, Steve.
Yeah.
It was the first chance that the media had to speak with Dumars since those comments were made. And Joe said that he had reached out to DeJounte and that everything was all good and that...
Right. Well, there's something out there. He was like, I want to address it head on and squash it.
Exactly. Figure out, you know, what can I do?
And talk to the medical staff and trainers, too, as well.
What can I do? What can we do to figure out this, what went wrong and everything like that? So I'm not really worried about it. It's good that it's out there. And DeJounte was able to speak on that podcast. I forgot the name of it. Outside of that, your point about the front court, Misi and everything like that, you see kind of some the building blocks of a good front court for not just the season, but for the future as well, with Misi, with Kevon Looney, with Derek Queen. I like it a lot, especially when you consider last year, Steve, the entire offseason we spent saying, oh, the Pelican center spot is going to be a big question mark. It's, you know, and in the Western Conference, when we talked with Mark Cook about this, Steve, that you need to have multiple bigs and be able to play with multiple bigs. And you have Misi, you have Queen, you have Maković as well, if you want to throw it into the mix, and you have Kevon Looney. You have an interesting little front court that's starting to build up here. And, you know, Joe Dumars has done a good job of getting that together.
We're going to take a break. When we get back, we'll get into more of our NBA conversation with one of our favorites, Odyssey Insider, Nick Friedel. Stay tuned right after this on WWL Sports Talk.
I'm Natalie Morales of 48 Hours. So much of our reporting focuses on the stories of victims who didn't survive. But what about those who live to tell?
I survived a violent home invasion. There's no earthly reason why I'm alive.
From 48 Hours, this is It Could Have Been Me.
It makes you grateful for everything you have, you know.
You can follow and listen to It Could Have Been Me on Tuesdays in the 48 Hours podcast feed on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Big news, folks. You can now stream Sports Talk and our time-shifted podcast on Odyssey, TuneIn, and now the iHeartRadio app. Listen to the shows that you love and local content you crave when you want and how you want on Odyssey, TuneIn, and the iHeartRadio app. Now happy to welcome in our Odyssey Sports NBA Insider, Nick Friedel. Insider calls brought to you by Hyundai. We put your safety first and everything else second. Learn more at HyundaiUSA.com. Nick, thanks so much, as always, for the time. How you been doing?
Steve, I am good. The party never stops around the league. There's always something going on. It does sadly feel a little more muted, at least at the beginning of free agency, than we're used to because of the second apron and all the different cap ramifications. But it is good to get the rumors and the intrigue around the league churning again.
Yeah, not a huge move for the Pelicans in free agency, getting Kevon Looney, but one that I feel adds a much-needed presence for this squad that was missing a year ago, yet there was so much angst and negativity going around this signing from national folks. I just didn't understand. Curious, your thoughts on New Orleans picking up Looney?
I think Looney is going to help that locker room a great deal. He was a very, very popular, turned into a veteran guy in Golden State with that group. He built up a lot of trust within the organization. The only issue I see, Steve, is health-wise, is he going to be able to stay on the floor night to night? It will depend on what kind of minutes and what kind of workload that they put him through. But I think that New Orleans is going to take it to a financial level that certainly the Warriors were going to get to. And if you believe that he can stay on the floor, then I think it's an investment worth making into his future, especially because if you've got a young group that just cannot seem to find their way, usually the best thing for a young group is one of the vets that everybody can go talk to and confide things in over time. Looney can be that guy, and it will certainly help if he can produce a little bit while he's out there playing.
Nick, would you believe me if I told you he's the oldest player on the Pelicans now?
Yes.
They traded like Kelly Olynyk, and obviously CJ McCollum goes out. He's been in the league for 10 years, but he's still only 29 years old. You kind of forget, you know, when these kids are drafted, they're 18, 19 years old. So Kevon Looney coming in, and I mean, to Steve's point about the angst about it, I'm right there with you. I think if he can stay on the court, which he has done over the last 4 years, specifically averaging 78.5 games per season in that stretch, he's going to be a guy that is a rotational piece of this front court, where Misi made that, had that really good rookie campaign. You're expecting him to take another step into 2025-26 in his second year with the Pelicans, and he's the starter. And I think Kevon Looney can be a spot starter if Misi gets injured. But other than that, this is a guy that's going to be playing 15 to 20 minutes per game off the bench for the Pelicans and really helping that front court rotation, because we always say, you know, the 48 minutes of good center play a night is obviously important in the modern day NBA.
Charlie, I think it's huge. And when you have a guy who knows where he needs to be on the floor, I think that's just as important. Looney can be the guy that can help the younger guys get into place. And he can show them the way, not only what it takes to be a pro, but show them what they're going to need to do, especially on defensive sets. What's interesting for me, having covered him out there with the Warriors a few years ago, is there was a stretch where the Warriors weren't sure if he was going to be able to continue playing. He had gone through a lot of different health injuries and issues, and to his credit, he lost weight. He found a way to be out there. They figured out the right regimen for him in between games, and he really has been able to keep his body in check. And if you can do that, especially at this stage of his career, and like you said, I mean, instantly becoming the oldest guy at 29, that tells you a whole lot of what you need to know about that roster in general. But it does make sense why they identified him early and were willing to go that extra mile financially. So I think he will help. I think he's going to be a calming influence for that young roster. And if he can produce a little bit on the floor, it sure makes sense.
Nick, Poole, Looney, and maybe Jonathan Kuminga. We're seeing rumors out there that the Pels are interested in doing a sign-and-trade deal with the Warriors to land Kuminga. Curious, you think, if that deal can get done with the financials? I know it's going to be hard to make work, but curious too, like, what do you think the Pels have to give up in order to get Kuminga in return from Golden State?
I would think it's Herb Jones and some draft capital, some assets.
Yeah,
That's what would be fascinating to me, guys, is certainly Kuminga has shown flashes. There is that chance that still at such a young age, he can develop into more of a scoring presence and a more of a star than the Pels have seen recently, because they keep waiting, obviously, for Zion, who I just don't think is ever going to become that player. But if I'm the Pelicans, I would be very, very hesitant on any Kuminga move. And the reason I say that is because if the Warriors and Steve Kerr thought that Kuminga was the next star that other people around the league still have, I guess, some hope that he can be, well, then he would have been out there playing in the big stretches. And they would have trusted him a hell of a lot more than they did the last couple seasons. The flip side to that argument is, all right, well, Kuminga doesn't fit with Steph, and sometimes that happens, but he's still a nice, athletic player who has the ability to come into his own in a different situation. If you're Joe Dumars and you believe that, go for it. You know what? Go for it and see what happens. If it were me, though, having watched his progression with the Warriors these last few years, that is not a move I'd be willing to make, because I don't trust that, especially once you redo this deal and you give him the money that he's looking for, that he's going to be able to live up to that kind of contract and pressure night to night. But if you're the Pels, you want to make a splash and you want to get a promising, young, athletic wing who can help you on both ends, then I guess take the swing. But that is why I would be very hesitant, because I'd look back on these last couple seasons and I'd say, did he earn the trust of Kerr and that coaching staff? And I think unequivocally the answer would be no. So if you know that, then I would be very, very cautious on putting out that kind of financial investment for a long-term future.
You know, Nick, it's a great point, and I wanted to get your thoughts, because right now it feels like the least likely option is that Kuminga's just going to stay in Golden State long-term. I know that he's a restricted free agent and that they could potentially match whatever contract he could get from another team. you know, you hear the buzz about Chicago and Miami, and obviously New Orleans is kind of the latest to throw their hand to the ring. I think Sacramento was the name, the team that was mentioned as well. There's obviously some interest in the kid, former seventh overall pick in 2021, and he's still 22 years old, which is almost hard to believe because he's been in the league for 4 years. The last 2 years have been solid from him, but as you mentioned, he really hasn't made that leap into being an all-star level player like, you know, maybe he had the potential of when he was drafted back in 2021's offseason with Golden State. I want to get your thoughts on what he could potentially be looking for financially, though, Nick. Like, what is the market range for Jonathan Kuminga if the Pelicans were to potentially go and get him in a sign and trade?
Well, Charlie, I think what he's wanted all along is max money or close to it. And you talk to people out there in the Bay Area, and they're like, you want max money, go find it. You know, I mean, that's part of being a restricted free agent. You know, you want the deal, get somebody to ink you to that deal and then force us to make the decision on whether we want to match or not. That's the issue. I know my old friend Brian Windhorst said this the other day on one of the ESPN broadcasts, but this really does feel like one of the single worst, if not the worst, summers we've ever seen for restricted free agents, just because there's not a lot of cap space to go around. So if you're Kuminga or you're Josh Giddey and you're sitting there saying, I want the big payday, and the big payday is not readily available anywhere, well, then it's going to be a really long summer, and it's going to turn into a staring contest. So that's part of the issue for Kuminga. Kuminga and his representation see him as a new star who could become even bigger in a different place, and they want him to be paid as such. If you're the Warriors or you're some other team, and Charlie, you mentioned a few of them, you're sitting there saying, all right, we believe in you, but I don't know if we want to go to that high of a point. Again, if you're a team like the Pelicans and you just don't have a lot of hope within that roster right now, I guess it's worth a swing. But at that point, given what we've seen, if you're investing in Kuminga at max money or close to it, you have to truly believe that he can reach a new level almost right away, that he's going to develop into a different kind of player than what we've seen consistently. Because, again, guys, the talent is there. We've seen him have games where he put up some big numbers, and defensively he's made some strides. What we have not seen is for that to carry over night after night after night. It is not a roll of the dice I would make, but I don't have the type of serious roster flaws that some of these teams have. And specific to New Orleans, I don't even know if you were to give up Herb and a draft pick or two to get Kuminga back and obviously to pay him what he's looking for. I don't know if that's a chance I'd be willing to take.
Insider Call is brought to you by Hyundai. Hyundai helps protect you and your family on the road. We put your safety first and everything else second. Looking away from the Pels for a sec, the Knicks expected to hire Mike Brown as the new head coach over there. Moving on from Thibodeau seemed like a big flub by the Knicks after what he was able to build with this team in just a couple years. And now bringing in a guy like Brown, as it looks, it at least seems on the surface like a good fit or a good addition for this Knicks squad. I'm curious how you feel about Brown.
Steve, I think he's a really good coach. He will have the respect of the players. He's got a defense-first mentality. But there's a big but here. And the but is, if you built a team around Tibbs,
yeah,
and you have brought in players minus Towns who fit Tibbs' style in his personality, the best person and best coach for those players is Tom Thibodeau. It's not Mike Brown or anybody else. So as much as I respect what Mike has done in the league, and I do think he can help, everybody focuses on the communication, and we've certainly seen those leaks the last couple of days. Oh, Mike Brown is very communicative, and he talks to everybody, and he's a connector in the organization. The story is always the same when you fire Tibbs. Hey, we need somebody who gets everybody on the same page and can make everybody work together. My only thing with the Knicks is good luck, because time and again now, we saw it in Chicago, we certainly saw it in Minnesota prior to the lottery luck of landing and Edwards. If you fire Tibbs and you've built your team around Tibbs and his personality, good luck trying to find the person to fill that role better than he did. Mike Brown is a really good coach. I think he will help them win games, but I do not believe a month later or whatever it's been, the Knicks are in a better place now than they were with all the flaws that had built up over time with Tibbs. I think they would have been better served to take a deep breath, try again this year, and see what happened.
Nick, this is the first time we've talked to you since the 2025 NBA draft. Steve and I did a draft show from the Pelicans facility, and boy, was it fascinating, because we had to get off at like by 9 o'clock. So we were all worried that we wouldn't get the 23rd overall pick in. Side note, but these draft picks taking 10 minutes per pick and going 3.5 hours to make 30 selections was kind of insane. But I want to get your thoughts on the Pelicans draft class. Like, you spend the 7th overall pick, you stay there, you take Jeremiah Fears, one spot above the Brooklyn Nets, who basically used all 5 picks on different size ball handlers in the first round. I thought that was a little bit fascinating. You get Jeremiah Fears, the point guard out of Oklahoma. He's got his deficiencies with defense. He's got his deficiencies with turnovers, 3-point shooting, but there is something to be said about how electric he is with the ball in his hands. And then the splash move that, you know, has been really, really fascinating to see national folks talking about it, where you move on from the 2026 unprotected first round pick swap between you and Milwaukee, and you move up 10 spots with Atlanta from pick 23 to pick 13, and you select Derek Queen and the center out of Maryland, who everybody in the NBA knew that Troy Weaver and Joe Dumars was interested in. They go out and get their guy, but, you know, some people say it's a gamble. Some people say it's reckless. Just want to get your thoughts on where you stand on it.
I'm of the belief that it was a gamble and it was reckless. So I sit into both sides of that equation, Charlie. Derek Queen better come in and be an all-star in the next few years. You do not make that move with the roster deficiencies that the Pelicans have, unless you are sure that that young guy can develop into the type of dynamic player he would need to be in time. And if he does, credit to Joe and Troy, and more power to him for taking the risk and making sure that they had a talented player that they believe is going to develop even more. Having said that, when you look at the Pelicans roster, there are so many holes all over the place. That draft, by all accounts, guys, is going to be a lot deeper next year than it is right now. And again, if you're the Pelicans, where is the belief that you are going to be able to turn things around in 1 year in a Western Conference that is clearly more talented than its counterpart in the East and has a lot more weapons all over the place? So when that deal went down, I kind of went, oh, come on, you got to be kidding. And then to see the reaction from all over the place, where it seemed like everybody was like, what the hell are the Pelicans doing? I hope for Dumars and Weaver's case that that pick becomes what they want it to be. Because if not, what they did was, any front office, a new front office, there's a goodwill period, the honeymoon period. Everybody's feeling good. Oh, this is a change. We have some hope again. I can't remember a time, guys, where it seemed pretty universal that all over the place, everybody's like, what the hell is Joe Dumars doing? So that was like a new record of taking the goodwill that you have with the hire and kind of flushing it. The only way to turn that around is to see the progression month to month next season. But even then, to give up that pick next year, that was a head scratcher, and I have a feeling it's going to be one of those moments in time you look back on and you go, why, oh, why did they do that?
You know, Nick, it's been interesting because it's been almost a 50-50 reaction from Pelican fans, where David Griffin made the like big trade with Anthony Davis. He got all these draft picks, and then he just kind of sat on his hands and didn't do anything with it. And so there were the people that said, oh, it's actually a breath of fresh air for Joe Dumars to be aggressive. And then you hear from everybody in the national media that basically echoed those entire sentiments that you just shared. But just looking at it, because it is fascinating to see this Pelicans roster getting built in Joe Dumars and Troy Weaver's image right off the bat and getting 2 lottery picks. I know that Joe had said that you kind of account for next year when you're making a second lottery selection. And they obviously have the belief in Derek Queen. And we're going to get to see both Queen and Fears very, very soon here, because like we had mentioned with the short offseason for the NBA, where you had the finals that was basically like 2 weeks ago, game seven, and then you go into the draft and then free agency starts. And then summer league is 8 days away. So we get to see both of them in a Pelicans uniform in action for the first time. I want to get your thoughts on both players and kind of what you're expecting from them in Las Vegas.
Well, I think the Fears pick makes a whole lot of sense, Charlotte, because he can get up and down the floor. There's some electricity to what he brings, not only to the game, but to the rest of his teammates. And you can believe that he should be able, especially in those summer league games, to find a rhythm pretty quickly. With Derek Queen, I know in the brief snippets I saw of him in college, what stood out to me was that he was never afraid of the moment. And when his teammate needed him to make a big play, a big shot, a big move on the floor, he was the guy that they turned to. More power to him, because a lot of guys, they get in those type of moments and they kind of shy away from it. But it's tough, as we know, to translate what you see sometimes in the college game to the next level. So on the surface, I actually like both of the picks. The problem, especially with the second pick, is what they had to give up to get it. So that always factors in. That's part of pro sports, and that's certainly been part of the NBA from now until the end of time. It's not that the picks won't work, because I think especially with the turnover that's going on right now with the Pels, that this group is going to let the young players play, and if you can play, hey, if the minutes are yours, go for it. The issue is going to be if immediately they don't live up to the expectations that are already set, well, then what happens heading into next year's draft where you go, oh, no, we could have had fill in the blank with whatever pick that ends up being. So that's my whole issue with why they made the deal that they did. It's not that there's not talent and the picks aren't going to fit in some kind of way in the system. It's that for the risk reward of it all, I just didn't see that it was worth it for a team that, and guys, I feel free to disagree with me. I just don't see the Pelicans being able to go from really the bottom of everything right now all the way back into even the middle of the West. I think that is a really, really tough sell, which is going to make that pick even better a year from now.
It's all based on health, Nick, and if this team can stay healthy, which they just have not been able to. And last year specifically was just brutal in that aspect. My last one for you, though, you know, I just wanted to throw this out there. Very generic. We're on day three of free agency. It's starting to slow down a little bit. Just your favorite kind of signings, fits so far, and then on the opposite side, some of your least favorite pickups or extensions that you've seen so far through the first couple of days of free agency.
Well, Charlie, let's start with what I didn't like, and I'm going to join the choir here, but I do not understand what the hell is going on in Milwaukee. You wave and stretch Lillard for all that money to sign Miles Turner. I think he's a solid pro. He can help, but he's going to take the Bucks from wherever they're at right now to some different place. And the amount of money that it's going to take not only to sign him, but because you waved and stretched Lillard, what in the world? I mean, at that point, just make the move and start fresh and get Giannis somewhere else. I just don't get what in the world Milwaukee's trying to do, because, again, and I think this part does tie to the Pels, on the surface, you get Miles Turner and they're good. You know, okay, he's a really good player coming off a great year. They got a game away from winning it all. Cool. But Miles Turner is going to put you in some different place alongside Giannis? I don't see that, even in a wide-open East. I mean, can Derek Queen help right away? Of course he can. But is he going to take the Pelicans to a whole different level with Fears? And maybe for the first time a healthy Zion? I don't see that. But I'm happy to tell you that I'm wrong if things change from now until April. But as far as the rest of the stuff goes, after Milwaukee and whatever the hell they're doing, I think that when you look at the moves that have already been made, and Charlie, we talked about this a few weeks ago, but the move that is actually the most intriguing to me didn't happen in the last few days. It happened a couple weeks ago, and it's Bane to Orlando. The East is wide open. the Magic made this move believing, all right, this is the guy that's going to put us over some kind of hump. Put him with Banchero and Wagner. Stay healthy and let's see what happens. That, to me, out of all these different moves, not only fits the best, but is the most intriguing because they pushed all their chips in and they said, this is the difference maker for us. Whether or not that happens over time, we're going to see. But I think that that type of gamble in the state that they're in as an organization in trying to take another step, that's as impressive to me as anything else we've seen in the first few days of free agency here.
Nick, always great hearing from you, man. Thanks so much for the time, as always. We love you.
Always enjoy, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks, Nick.
Odyssey NBA insider Nick Friedell. Insider calls brought to you by Hyundai. Put your safety first, everything else second. Learn more at HyundaiUSA.com. Head to the top of the hour news, then we'll come back with more sports talk. Leading off with Zach Nagy, publisher of LSU Tigers on Sports Illustrated. Find about more of the latest Bayou Bengal that'll be coming to Baton Rouge. We'll take a break, come back right after this. Stay tuned on WWL Sports Talk.
I'm Natalie Morales of 48 Hours. So much of our reporting focuses on the stories of victims who didn't survive. But what about those who live to tell?
I survived a violent home invasion. There's no earthly reason why I'm alive.
From 48 Hours, this is It Could Have Been Me.
It makes you grateful for everything you have, you know.
You can follow and listen to It Could Have Been Me on Tuesdays in the 48 Hours podcast feed on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.